All right.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula chimincha. Tatir. Serra. Alec at Gimel Yitat Sadi. Kabel Rinat. Amcha Sagvenu. Taharei Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevabat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem tacharem rakame sitkacha tamid gamlem betet resh tzadi tav gimel. The letter Kaf that created the planet we call the sun with its double name, its internal name of Shemesh, the servant, and its external name of Choten, hot, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, the Leo. And the gematria of Aryeh is 216, which connects us to the 216 letters of the 72 names of God. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Tet Kufet, Tet Nunayim. Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Taf. In the eighth verse we say in a whisper, but for the purposes of teaching I will say it out loud. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Just a couple of quick comments. Ari and I had been talking offline just briefly about the Anabakoach, and just reminding people, the Anabakoach, each verse is a meditative tool. Each verse connects to one of the Sfirot. Each verse connects to one of the planets and two of the astrological signs, as well as two of the months, except for the sun and the moon, where it's only just the one. So there are so much involved in it because the Anabakoach is a tool. It's literally the 42-letter name of God that was used for creation, both the creation of the spiritual frames and the creation of the physical world. And so when I do a meditation in a basic class, when I say the Anabakoach at the beginning of the basic class, I give a lot of different meditative directions on each verse, but as the classes become more advanced and people are using it themselves, the purpose of saying the Anabakoach in a given class is to bring the energy of creation into that class. And that's why I read from the Zohar at least one verse in every class to bring the energy of Kedusha, of holiness, into the class. And that's really the method behind my madness. And it takes a good 10-15 minutes to do that meditation. And it can be a 2 to 3 hour meditation. It's up to you as to how you want to approach it. We're reading from the Zohar from the portion of Parashah of Ekev, section 3, 10 things one must do for the meal. And we're now on verse 48, which is maybe halfway through. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kananeh aleinu maaseh yadeinu kananehu. Talita alamei kal shelosh seudati tin v'shabbat kima diokmuha rabbanan dematnitin diamar chad minayhu yehei chelkei im gomre shalosh seudot b'shabbat diinun shalimu dishva birkan ditzlota diashlema b'chon leasar v'raza dioneg v'nahar yotze me'eden lehashkod et hagan umandilab mekayim lon v'it le'rishu lekayman it hapach le'linega tzara'at ugin delayete lechai amarkut shabarichu levu alai v'ani porea az titanag al Hashem. The third setting regarding the Shabbat table is to eat three meals on Shabbat, as was explained by the sages of the Mishnah. One of them said, let my lot be with those who eat on three meals on Shabbat, which complete the seven blessings in the Amidah prayer by bringing them to a total of 10. The secret of delight, the Hebrew oneg, ayin nun gimel, is the secret meaning of "and a river went out of Eden to water that garden." For Eden means delight, and the garden is malchut, the secret meaning of Shabbat. Also, oneg is the initials of Eden. Nahar, English, means river, and gan, English, means garden. Whoever can but does not observe them, for him the oneg turns into a plague. Hebrew is nega, of leprosy. It's the same letters as oneg in reverse order. And so the joy of Shabbat can turn into a leprosy if it's not done essentially, as they are spelled with the same letters. In order that he should not come to this, the Holy One, blessed be he, says, borrow on me and I will pay. And it is written, then shall you delight yourself in Hashem. This phrase, borrow on me and I will pay, is an amazing spiritual lesson. It's truly... it's so overwhelming, I hesitate to even speak of it, but it needs to be spoken of from this verse. We all will become tzaddikim. There is no person ever born into this world who does not become a tzaddik eventually. Some of us, most of us of this generation, have taken forever to learn the lesson. Our work, our spiritual work, we veiled ourselves lifetime after lifetime, and we're still here, while those who've learned and reached that level are waiting for us in the Garden of Eden. Borrow on me means you will become a tzaddik, and there is no time, space, or motion in the spiritual frame. Therefore, you exist as that tzaddik. Borrow on yourself. Bring the energy from yourself, not your higher self, your whole self. You as a tzaddik. Borrow on me and I will pay. Because the light of a tzaddik is endless. And yes, you will pay back by becoming the tzaddik. And use that energy whenever you are feeling low, whenever you are feeling lost, whenever you are feeling out of sorts and out of balance. Borrow on yourself. Use the energy of your future self in the now, because there's no separation. Become the tzaddik and bootstrap yourself to the level of the tzaddik. Three meals on Shabbat. Shabbat is a unique day. It is a gift. I do a whole class on it, and I don't do it justice in the basic class. Shabbat is amazing. It's not a question of not making fire. It's not a question of not following all of these things. The Jewish nation reads from the Torah on Shabbat. That is the strongest tool of protection that we can ever receive in our physical world. The hearing of the Torah portion Shabbat morning. After each prayer of Shabbat, we manifest it with a meal, which this verse from the Zohar is explaining. We said during this Shabbat, during that prayer, seven blessings in the Amidah. And the meal, the three meals of Shabbat, take those seven blessings representing the lower world, the physical world. And we bring down the three meals of Shabbat to manifest the Cheter and Chachma and Bina of each of them. I'd be speaking for hours if I continued along those lines. Let's just continue with the Zohar, because that's where the real wisdom is. It's not my comments. Verse 49. Ravia liancha ra pato ra bim narta kima dioknuha kadma in shulchan batzafon menorah badarom defatora dekudsha barichu hakitzarika lemecheve Chamisha'a kos v'vaychulu, kos v'cheshbon, Elohim v'yechulu ayin bet, dekalil lilon kala kadisha, dehai kos male, yena dioraita tzarich, leyaschada alovada divreshit. The fourth setting is to light the table with a lamp, as was decreed by ancient sages, that a table should be at the north and the lamp at the south. For the table of the Holy One, blessed be He, Malchut, needs to be that way. The fifth setting is the wine cup of Vayechulu, meaning the Kiddush cup. The numerical value of kos, the Hebrew word for cup, is that of Elohim, that is 86. Vayechulu is 72 in numerical value, which the Holy Bride, Malchut, includes, namely the name Elohim and the name of Ayin Bet. The cup, which is Malchut, filled with the wine, meaning the abundance of the illustration of Chokmah, of the Torah, which is Zeran Pin, called Torah, needs to bear testimony to the act of creation, which is the secret of Bina, because the abundance of the illumination of Chokmah is considered a testimony. The Hebrew word is Edut, based on Eden. And Bina is the source that pours it. That is the reason why one should testify to the act of creation. Friday night, after the Amidah, the prayer service has a prayer which is a repetition of the Amidah. And it is the only time the repetition is spoken by the congregation and not by the leader. But that prayer, that repetition, starts out Vayechulu. Vayechulu has a gematria of 72, alluding to, hinting at, the 72 names of God. And just so that we truly understand, Vayechulu, let's see, it's Vayechulu et Hashemayim. No. The first three words of that prayer start, the first letters start Vav He Vav, which is the first of the triads of the 72 names of God. Vav He Vav acts as a time machine. It brings you back to the moment of creation, the first Shabbat, essentially. Because within Shabbat, are the Keter, Chachma, and Bina of a week. So this Shabbat, while it is the Malchut of this week, also includes the Keter, Chachma, and Bina, the seeds for next week, which is the seven lower Sephirot of the physical world. One of the gifts that's inherent in Shabbat. Vayechulu has the 72 names of God, and the wine cup, which is manifesting the energy of the prayer, has the name Elohim. Elohim can either be a name from Malchut, when it is without the light of Chokmah, or when it is filled with the light of Chokmah, it's from the level of Binah. This is all that is being revealed and much more in this verse. Verse 50. Shetita alemachave alpatora divre Torah dehaki ukmu hamare matnitin gimel sheachlu al shulchan echad Vila amru alav divrei Torah vegomer virazad mila begin deha ukbucha shulchan batzafon veoraita it yehivat mimina lechabira yamina dehu rachame bishmala Dehu dina deoraita ihi Hashem mimina patora Adonai mishmala betzarich lehabra lon divgin defatora mismala ukmuha rabbanan dematnitin kashin bezonotav shel adam ki kriyat Yam suf, ugin kach tzarich, tachatzi lezamna, imei leman diishtadal, bepit gameoraita. The sixth setting is to have words of Torah at one's table, because that is how the sages of the Mishnah decreed about three who ate on the same table yet have not spoken on it words of Torah. The secret meaning is that they have decreed that the table should be to the north, and that the Torah was given from the right. Therefore, it behooves one to say words of Torah at the table in order to join the right, which is mercy, with the left, which is judgment, and the north. The Torah is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Zeran-Pin, which was given from the right. And the table is Adonai, Malchut, which is from the left, which is at the north. Therefore, one needs to join them, because the left without the right confers harsh judgments. Since that table is at the left side, the sages of the Mishnah have explained that a person's sustenance is as difficult to obtain as the splitting of the Red Sea. Therefore, one needs to invite him a Torah scholar who will study Torah. And what is alluded to in this verse is to support the Torah scholar in order to balance yourself. But the idea that is being expressed here, why is it difficult to split the Red Sea? And we hear this in a couple of different places in the Talmud especially. We hear this phrase that XYZ is as difficult as splitting the Red Sea. Now, why is it difficult for God to split the Red Sea? I realize it's quiet, and it's not a rhetorical question, but most people don't really know why it's difficult. So I'm going to spring. I'm sorry?
I say I do not. So.
Okay. Most people don't. So let me give you an example from the Talmud of why it is as difficult to split the Red Sea. There was a Roman matron in the time of the Roman occupation of the Holy Land, of Eretz Yisrael, who was friendly, and actually was the wife of the head Roman in Israel, who was friendly with Rabbi Gamliel, who was organizing the Talmud and recording the Talmud. And the story is that she came to Rabbi Gamliel and said, "What's God been doing since he created the world?" And Rabbi Gamliel's response was, "He's been matching men and women." And she said, No, that can't be. That's easy to do. I have 1,000 slaves and I can match them overnight." And Rabbi Gamliel said, "Actually, matching men and women is as difficult as splitting the Red Sea." So she said, "You're absolutely wrong. Your Torah is false, God forbid. I'm going to show you." So that night she went home and she took all 1,000 of her slaves and she matched them. "You are in with him, and you are in with her, and you are in with him." And all 1,000 slaves were matched as easily as her saying, "I'm in control, I'm the master, you're the slave, this is where you're sleeping tonight." And in the morning, guess what you found? They all came out of their sleeping quarters, but there wasn't a smile among them. There were bruises. There were black and blue marks. There were people who were limping. There was bite marks. The next Shabbat, when she came to Rabbi Gamliel, she said, "You know, you're right. It is as difficult to match males and females than it is for splitting the Red Sea." Now, what happened at the Red Sea? This is a midrash that explains why it's difficult. The sea is splitting. Now, God didn't split the sea. Ultimately, he did because he made an agreement with the water that at one moment in time, it would go against its nature, which is to be in unity, which is where the surface tension of water comes from. It would be in unity, and it would split in order to save the nation of Israel. That was the agreement. "I'll create you if you will agree to do this." But the people, or the action of splitting the Red Sea, was actually the Jewish nation and the certainty of Nachshon ben Amminadab, But the angels are singing praises to God at this moment of the splitting. As the Jews cross, the angels are singing praises. And as the water comes back together and the Egyptians drown, the angels are singing praises. And God says, stop singing praises. My children are dying. Why is it difficult to split the Red Sea? Because you have two different actions. One of mercy in saving the Jewish nation, and one of judgment in which the sea caused the Egyptians to drown. These are two opposites. Male and female are two opposites. Judgment and mercy are two opposites. In our world, in our physical body, we do not understand how to utilize or act with two different aspects, two different traits in unity. These are opposite traits acting together. This is only something that the Creator can do. Last night, we were talking in 10 Luminous Emanations, the deepest study of the Kabbalah. And that is essentially what our discussion was about. How can the Creator, how is His thoughts different than our thoughts? And His ways different than our ways? And what the Rabbi Ashlag teaches in 10 Luminous Emanations is simply, we think of something, we're going to build a house, and now we have 10,000 steps and thoughts to manifest that house, and we have a process of time, and we have a process of actions. Each of those actions are unique, one after the other. We might do mercy and then judgment and then balance, but we don't do them at the same time. And the Creator has a thought of creation, and it manifests with no space of time. He thinks it, and it comes into being, totally perfect, totally complete. This is the meaning of this verse in prophecy. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Verse 51. Shavia aliarka al patora begina niim uvginda kold hama arich al shulchano ma'arikin lo yamav ushnotav uvkich it utzdaka tatzil mimevat mavet da'ani chashuv kamei vihu machayele ufaki kudshabarichu machayele. The seventh setting is to stay a long table at the, the seventh is to stay a long time at the table for the poor to come. Whoever stays long at the table will have his days and years extended. For that reason, charity delivers from death. Since a poor man is like a dead man, whom he revives with charity. The Holy One, blessed be He, also revives him. So much to comment on that verse, because the tzedakah is involved, charity, saving from death. You have an explanation, for the first time I've ever read it, of why charity saves you from death. because you're saving the poor man who's starving to death from death when you give tzedakah, when you give charity. And there is a difference between charity and tzedakah, and we need to understand that. But let's discuss Shabbat in the long table. At your Shabbat table, you should open it to a homeless person. You should invite the poor to your table. When I was living in Los Angeles studying Kabbalah at the beginning, I chose to room with a man who was also studying Kabbalah, and we chose to room together because we were not astrologically compatible. We chose to room together with the understanding that we would work on each other in order to grow spiritually. And therefore, maybe we would merit the living with a woman and being able to find our soulmate and get married. It didn't work for either one of us, but for 3 years we aggravated each other a lot. And when we split up, both of us moving, recognizing it was time, we had learned what we needed to learn from each person. We had made the correction. He moved and started a kollel, a study, in the Pico Robertson area where the Zohar was not being taught except by the Kabbalah Center, who was not open to the religious community to come study there. The rabbis of the religious community would not allow it. The whole discussion, it would take too long to go into. But he brought the Zohar open. But the one thing he did that was just overwhelming and caused a full uproar in the community. On Friday night and Saturday, second meal and third meal especially, he never charged and everybody was open to his table. He never charged anybody to come eat those meals. Yes, people made donations to support it, of course, or it wouldn't have stayed open. But he totally ignored that issue. He never said to somebody, make a donation for the food. And every place else on that street and in a 2-mile stretch of Pico Boulevard, there are over 50 synagogues. It's one of the most unique areas in the world outside of the land of Israel, where Jewish communities can't get along, so they have their own synagogues, like everywhere else, of course. But that breaking, that long table where the poor were welcome, where homeless people would come, where they would do good deeds to help and assist people on a human level. This was an amazing change that this man helped to implement. And then I was fortunate enough to room with another student that became his student and eventually took over the management of the kollel for 3 years. So I have been very much involved in understanding this process. And a Shabbat table without a truly poor person is not what Hashem wants Shabbat to be. Verse 52. V'yod b'yorach razab dekulhu anim sitra de'at dalad deitmar ba'daloti v'li Yehoshua. V'yot dalet de'echad t'tzarich li'arka'a v'ahidiktiv l'ha'arich yamim al mamlachto uvgid tzarich li'arka'a al patora di'ihi dalet kalila midalet raglin t'fatora V'gin de karade at dalet Tzarich liarka'a al patorah begin aniyim. Furthermore, an esoteric explanation is that all the poor people originate from the part of the letter Dalet, about which it is said, I was brought low. The Hebrew word is daloti, and he saved me. The pronunciation of the letter Dalet in Achad should be prolonged. That is meant by the verse that he may prolong his days in his kingdom. Therefore, it behooves one to stay long at the table, which is a Dalet, equal four, because it has four legs of the table. In honor of that letter Dalet, one should stay long at the table for the sake of the poor. The longer one stays at the table, the longer the poor have to eat. The longer one stays at the table, the more Torah one is able to study. The more Torah one is able to study, the more fulfilled the poor one receives. And that's not the financially poor person who's hungry and able to eat, but you, who is at the Shabbat table, is poor and in lack, as all of us want something we have not yet received. And ultimately, what we want to receive is being close to the Creator. And ultimately, that means studying Torah. Stay at the table, Shabbat. Stay at the Shabbat table a long time, because we are all poor. We're all dull. Dalet Lamed. And this is the doorway to the long life. Dalet is the word that means doorway. Verse 53. Kudshabarichu mida yafa leYisrael velashkach mida dedalut biakshu ala begin diok muha kadma ein kechushban mine mitot dinun bekechushban totzaot bechesron kis kashe. Mikulan ve'ech mamrin inun dila ashkach leYisrael mida yafa ka'ani yuta. In relation to it, the sages explain that the Holy One, blessed be He, sought a comely virtue for Israel and found only the virtue of poverty. A difficulty was raised here, since the ancient sages explain that the number of different deaths is equivalent to the numerical value of the world. Totsaot literally means modes, and its gematria is 903, and that an empty pocket is the most difficult. How could it be said he found no better virtue for Israel than poverty? First off, I have to disagree with the Zohar, and I don't ever disagree with the Zohar, because everything here is right, but just means that I don't understand it and don't know how to reconcile it, because my teacher has said there is only one cause of death, and that's the angel of death. Of course, there's 903 different ways to die. That's the modes, totsaot. And that different ways of dying, the most difficult, the sages of the Talmud say, is to die of an empty pocket, to be poor, financially poor. But there's no better virtue for Israel than poverty. How do we reconcile this? Verse 54. Ela begin de kol ama velishana vehaya ki yirav vehit katsaf vekilel bimalko uvelchav ufanav lemala aval Yisrael inun kayama dekutcha barichu b'chai mida Vela akshishin be uvgid b'mida dayit parkun ahidikti ve'et amani toshia v'ani lishana de'inu de'afilu itle lebarnash utra de'ihu mebarin u'machteshin ani itkere O de dachakin le, begine betzarin le kol yoma, kol sheken man de ihu, rash mine vehu cholech, me atar le atar. He responds, it is only because about each nation and people it is said, and it shall come to pass, that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, and curse their king and their Elohim, and look upward. However, the children of Israel are in the covenant with the Holy One, blessed be He, also with this virtue, and do not deny His existence. Hence they shall be redeemed by this virtue. This is the meaning of, and the afflicted people you shall save. Ani, which means poor in English, spelled Ayin Nun Yud, is derived from Inui, suffering. Since even when one has wealth but suffers from illnesses and afflictions, he is considered poor. Or he is distressed for his wealth and is afflicted every day. This is surely true for one who is poorer than him, meaning that he lacks even enough to fulfill his needs and must wander from place to place, who is most certainly considered poor. That verse applies to me because I'm wandering from place to place to teach, and I think it's a virtue. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. We all have lacks. We all have desires that are not fulfilled. The ego says we're wealthy. We have financial resources. But they go leave us overnight. The wealthy have to worry about losing their money. The wealthy have to worry about having their money stolen. Hashem provides for every person every day. All you have to have is the certainty that it will be there. This certainty is the fulfillment of poorness. It's the solution to financial poorness. It's the solution to every lack that one feels. Verse 55. Viodi tanidi stalak mine datev kikon iyov dit mar be iyov lo bedaat yedaber ufaki hi dalad dihi shikinta kadi stalak mina ach dihu amuta Tem saita dikre dat bechai leit lehobin bemila die ma viod ach ihu Torah kalil tariyag pikudin ahidiktiv ze shemi leolam vegomer shemi im ya shesa Zikri im vav hei ramach uginda ukmucha Einani ela min ha-Torah Umin ha-mitzvot Dishar ani lavihu elayinu V'yat dalet bin Adonai uf haki Ihi ani bela Hashem. There is another kind of poor man who lost his mind like Job, about whom it is said, Job has spoken without knowledge. So too is the Dalet, which is the Shekhinah. When Aleph and Chet of Echad were gone from it, which is the central pillar called Dat, it is poor. And one who is without knowledge does not incur iniquity by speaking improperly. Furthermore, Aleph Chet is the Torah that is comprised of the 613 mitzvot. This is the meaning of, this is my name, forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. The word name is Shmi, or the word my name, Shmi. The word my memorial is Zichri. Shmi, plus the Yud-K, the upper worlds, is numerically 365. Shmi is Shin Mem Yud, that would be 350. Plus 15 for Yud He is 365. And Zichri plus Vav He is numerically 248. Vav He is 11, Zichri is 237. Therefore, it has been explained that one is poor only in Torah and mitzvot. This is because the other poor people suffer, but are not poor. The letter Dalet of Adonai, which is Malchut, is also poor, without Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Similarly, the Dalet of Echad, which is Malchut, is poor, without Aleph and Chet of Echad, that is the 613 mitzvot of the Torah, that are chasadim, that are mercy. The verse is really all over the place and kind of hard to understand, a bit esoteric, but just the Jewish people have 613 mitzvot. The non-Jewish nations have 7 mitzvot. The truth is their 7 mitzvot also includes many of our mitzvot that we call are specific as opposed to the general. Just as there are 10 Eser Dibrot, the 7 mitzvot of the Noahides are included in the 10. And the 10 utterances include all 613 mitzvot from the Jewish nation. So, this whole understanding of what is a lack. The Jewish people are poor in mitzvot, meaning they have many to do, and they can always do more. The Jewish people are poor in their relationship to the Creator, because they're constantly praying to the Creator, crying out for more. And this is one of the mitzvot. This is the understanding and the what the Zohar is truly teaching us. Why did Hashem send the Satan after Job? The Zohar explains elsewhere something that nobody understands about that story. The Zohar explains that Job never gave the Satan his due. One of that first piece of bread when you break challah on Shabbat goes to the Satan so that he has his share, because even negativity is a creation of the Creator. And even negativity, who is ultimately poor, being distant from the Creator, is entitled to his lot in life, his energy that comes through the double agent we call the poof, that goes below the line. Who is poor? That's all for today. Are there any questions?
No, I'm good.
Tonight's class at 10 will not be on UVU, but it will be on the phone system, the teleconference system. So, Ari, do you know how to reach that if you need to, if you're going to be up?
No, I don't.
Well, let me put it on the recording so if somebody ever needs it, maybe it'll be appropriate for that time. The phone number is 213-289-0500. The code is 911-904-pound. Then you'll be prompted to press 1 if you agree to be recorded. And that'll let you into the conference system.
Okay.
So hold that aside, because there are times when classes are not done on UVU.
Okay.
One thing to keep in mind, if you were interested, I'm going to be talking about the Shabbat in the class for the basic class for Idaho, which I'm giving on Sunday, which can be on the UVU if you want to join it that way, or it will be on the teleconference, the telephone conference system. But if you want to know more about Shabbat, the class will be live this Sunday.
Okay.
And it's at 1 p.m. West Coast time, so 3 p.m. your time.
Okay.
That's good. Have a good evening.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.